The book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 169, is where we resume our study today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, "Let my cry come near before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." He wants understanding. In other words, he wants God to show him how to act in whatever situation he finds himself in. He wants God to show him because he doesn't trust what he himself might come up with. A wise, God-fearing person will not trust themselves. They know themselves too well to do that. A God-fearing person wants to be filled with the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can influence them to do what they ought to do in any given situation that may come their way. And that's how you prepare for it, by filling yourself with the Word of God and making sure you're not harboring any unconfessed sins. 170. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Deliver me is a prayer we should pray every time we are tempted to sin. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When we pray, "God, don't let me give in to this temptation," he will help us. He will give us the grace. The problem is, many times Christians want to sin more than they want help from God to not sin. 171, "My lips shall utter praise when you have taught me your statutes." You know, God teaching us something from his word is a real good reason to praise him. And that's because truth is the foundation of all blessing. You can't be righteous and you can't be happy if you don't understand truth. And you can't live it if you don't know it. And if you don't live it, your life is going to be full of confusion. So thank God anytime you learn anything from his word. 172, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous." I'm glad I know what's right. I wish I lived it all the time, but I'm glad that I know what's right. I'm glad that what I say to you in these messages is right. I'm glad that you taking the time to learn is the right thing to do. These things are all right. So much of what people do is wrong. So much is a big waste of time, sort of like spinning your wheels on ice. It's refreshing to know that whatever time we spend in God's word is time well spent because it is right. 173, "Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts." In other words, I have chosen to do what is right, God. Consequently, please help me follow through with it. And part of the way God helps us to be holy is through our prayers, which is what the writer is doing right here. Prayer is a mystery. I don't know how it works, but it works. If you want to do what is right, pray to God for help and grace to do what is right. That's the first thing we should do. 174, "I have longed for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight." If you long for salvation, then make sure that God's law is your delight. You can't save yourself from hell by keeping God's law, but you'll stay close to God so you'll be less likely to backslide, and that will keep you out of hell. No one goes to hell unless they willfully turn their back on Christ, and staying close to him will keep that from happening. Which is why we must keep short accounts on sin. In other words, confess immediately. Repent immediately. When you sin, get an immediate fresh start with God and don't put it off. Putting off confession, putting off repentance, leads to toleration of sin, which leads to backsliding, which leads to losing one's faith, which leads to hell. 175. "Let my soul live, and it shall praise you." and let your judgments help me. An ungodly person wants to keep living so he can keep sinning. A godly person wants to keep living so that they can keep praising God and serving Jesus here on earth. We've got one life, one short segment of time out of all eternity to serve God here on earth, and that would include helping to spread the message of Jesus Christ. And I want to stretch it out as long as I can and make the most of it, and I hope that's your desire too, because that's biblical. 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. He loved God. He loved God's word. He loved obedience. He loved all these things, and yet he knows that because of his sinfulness, he will still wander from God. He knows it, and he doesn't like it. And so he asks the Lord to keep an eye on him and bring him back if he even begins to stray. And you know, with an attitude like that, this guy will never go to hell. He may go through hell here on earth, as God gives him whipping after whipping to keep him from wandering, but a wise person, a godly person, will want that instead of being allowed to wander from Christ. Psalm 120, in my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. He'll always hear you. If you in your distress cry unto the Lord, he will hear you. And so when you're in trouble, cry out to God. And I may be speaking to somebody who has never repented and asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. I may be asking, or I may be talking to somebody like that. Maybe your situation is desperate. Maybe you are going through a hell on earth. Maybe you have family problems. Maybe you have money problems. Maybe you have all the above. Maybe you have other things. But it's piling up, and you feel the pressure, and it's not fun, and you're miserable, and you're not a Christian. Oh, you were brought up in a church, but you're not a Christian. You believe in Jesus, but you're not a Christian. Repent. Repent of all known sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life to take complete control and to save your soul from hell and mean business. Now, some people look down on those who wait until trouble hits before they get serious about Jesus. And it may not be the best thing, because after all, Jesus does deserve our complete and total allegiance. But at the same time, it's not a bad thing, or God wouldn't allow trouble to make it happen. On September 12, 2001, the day after 9/11, confession lines were very long at Catholic churches. Prayer meetings were being held all across the United States. Special services. Why? Because people were afraid. They didn't know if they were going to keep living. They didn't know if there were going to be more terrorist attacks with them being next. They didn't know that. And so they felt very vulnerable, and they turned to God. Most of them probably just temporarily. But trouble has a way of driving us to God. Don't despise it. Let it drive you to God. And then verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Deliver me from liars. Many people believe lies. Some people believe lies because they're gullible. Some believe because they don't investigate the facts for themselves. Many believe because they want the lies to be true. And it's very difficult to undo damage caused by liars. So the writer says, deliver me from lies. Deliver me from liars. Do you realize how much trouble is caused by people who tell lies about others, that defame their character, that question their morality? Verse 3, what shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? In other words, what will God do to liars? What will he do to them? Well, plain and simple, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that all liars will burn in hell if they don't repent. That's what God will do to them. You think God isn't serious about the sin of lying? I'll tell you, people better investigate the facts before they repeat a lie. And those who do not investigate or repeat a lie because it's what they really want to be true are in trouble. You are defaming someone's character, perhaps, or whatever the lie may be. It doesn't matter. God takes it seriously. Again, 3 and 4. What shall be given to you? Or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Look at verse 4. Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. What will God do to liars? He will cut them and he will burn them. And if that doesn't suggest hell, then I don't know what does. And all I know is that people better tell the truth. And they better repent and confess all lies. Because God means business. 5. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Meshach and Kedar, just to give you a little background, were no good. So what's he saying? Meshach and Kedar were the type that hated everyone and fought with everyone and sometimes even among themselves. The writer is saying, why do I have to live in the midst of people like that? Good question, isn't it? Why is it that we have to live in the midst of people who are nothing but trouble? Life would be so much happier if people respected the Word of God and lived by it. Many years ago, a visitor from a foreign country made this statement, and I don't remember who he was. He said, America is great. He came over here to try to discover the secret of America's greatness. And after spending some time here, he made the statement, America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. We are not great anymore because we are not good anymore. Someone says, well, I'm good and I think America is good. Well, you know, the problem with people today is that they have abandoned God's definition of good and invented one that fits their sinful lusts. But it doesn't work, and we're not good, and therefore we are not great. Jesus said, wisdom is vindicated by her children. And the children or the offspring or the result of the accepted behavior in this country today, look around, see what it is. It's confusion, it's trouble, it's debacle. In every segment of life. 6. My soul has long dwelled with him that hates peace. In other words, I've reached my limit with troublemakers. And I don't want to put up with it anymore. There comes a point where it is time to say, enough. That's it. There comes a point when God's people should say, I'm not going to take this anymore. This constant contention with evil people who don't care about God is going to stop, and I don't care what it costs me. One way or another, I'm removing myself from it. Forget it. People who are full of misguided zeal and hate are a curse to common, decent people who simply want to mind their own business, work, and raise their family. 7. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Some people have a contrary spirit. They're always looking for an argument. If you say right, they'll say wrong. If you say black, they'll say white. Ever meet anybody like that? I don't waste time with people like that anymore. Life is too short to waste words and waste time on the useless who aren't interested in truth or anything other than contention. 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where comes my help. Sometimes when trouble hits, a person's first reaction is to look for help from someone or something here on earth. That is what is meant when the writer says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. He's looking for help from this world. Often, people look to human beings or some institution, including the government, when things go wrong. But that's not the first place we should go when we're in trouble. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So many times God's people will initially look for help from someone or something in this world. That's what the writer suggests that he did in verse 1. But hopefully, after they shake the dust of whatever trouble has blasted them, they will come to their senses and know that they should turn to God. That's what the writer does here in verse 2. He isn't going to rely on someone or something in this world for help. He comes to his senses and he realizes that he needs to rely on God, who made everyone and made everything. Doesn't make sense to trust in someone or something when you can trust in the one who made everyone and made everything. And that's not to say that God doesn't use people or other things to help us. He certainly does do that at times. But God is always the actual helper, which is why we should pray to him for help and trust him for help instead of other things. 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Our God never dozes off when there's work to be done, nor does he have to write a note so he will not forget that he needs to do something for us. God doesn't get distracted from us. God doesn't doze off while watching over us. That's in contrast to others who may care about you and would like to help you, but they may get sick, or they get tired, or they are detained for some reason. But nothing can hinder or distract God. That's another very good reason to rely on him first and foremost instead of relying on others. Again, it says, behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. God is on our right hand. That means that he is always ready to do whatever we need to have done. When we pray and ask God for something, God never says, that's a good idea. You know, that's a good prayer, but I'm just too busy to answer it right now. God never says, good idea. I really like that prayer, but I just can't answer you right now. You have to wait because I'm way too busy. He never says, well, you know, there are a lot of people ahead of you in the prayer line today, so you're just going to have to wait, even though your need is urgent. God doesn't have to respond to our prayers like that because he can do all things for all people at the exact same time. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night, meaning God is going to take care of his people. And ultimately, this is talking about God's people getting to heaven. There's going to be a new sun and a new moon and new stars and a new earth, because that's what the Bible teaches. It's true that there won't be, some people think that there won't be a sun in the new creation, but there will be. But they think that because the Bible teaches that there's not going to be need of a sun in that one fabulous city called the New Jerusalem, and that's true. But the Bible doesn't say that there won't be sunlight in other places. There will be. I'm convinced of that. But one thing is certain. There's going to be sunlight, but there won't be sunburn. See, there won't be sunstroke. There won't be draining heat and humidity. Everything is going to be perfect, including our bodies, including our weather. 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. When the Bible says here that God will preserve you, it means that he will keep your soul. No one can snatch us out of Jesus' hand. That's what the Bible says. We are safe in Christ. God says that he will keep our souls, and no one can stop him from doing that. Don't worry. Jesus will keep you and preserve your soul for as long as you want him. Jesus always wants you. The question is, do you want him? That's always the question. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Going out and coming in means absolutely everything. God has everything under control as far as we are concerned, if we have repented and asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Almighty God says that He will protect us from every danger. Again, God is not like human beings who don't always have the desire or the ability to help. If you belong to God through Jesus Christ, then He will protect you in this life from every bad thing. The only time He allows something bad into the life of His people is when He wants to use it to bring about something good. We may not like it, but there's nothing like bad for getting us to pray more, for getting us to examine our conscience, for getting us to repent of all known sins. So there is bad, which He allows in this life for a good purpose, but it's temporary. In the next life, there will not be any bad at all for Christians. In fact, the bad in this life helps us to get to the good in the next life. And no, that doesn't mean we earn our salvation by going through an earthly purgatory. It means that God allows trouble to separate the true Christian from the false Christian, and He allows trouble to draw us closer to Him and therefore lessen the likelihood of us backsliding and losing our faith and losing our salvation.